I wish I were Jean-Luc Picard. I don't think it would be that hard to sip Earl Grey and save the day while boldly going through the stars. Or maybe I'd be Captain Mal, a shining six gun as my pal. Sexy, broken, full of jokes, even as things have gone to hell. Oh, I wish I were Starship Captain.
Welcome back to Geeks Explicitly. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Here on Geeks Explicitly, we are an explicit podcast, meaning we are not afraid to drop a few F-bombs, and we discuss all aspects of geek life. That's right, everything from A to Z, you're going to find it here on Geeks Explicitly. Today's show, episode 16, we are going to discuss five great soundtracks. That's right, five great soundtracks. Not every film has a great soundtrack. Not every great film has a great soundtrack. Not every great soundtrack is for a great film. So we're going to talk about the five great soundtracks that I think you might like. And then we have a mailbag for the end of the show. Some comments and feedback for episode 15 when we talked about five great graphic novels. So I will be sharing the mailbag with you at the end of the episode, of course. So you can find show notes for this episode by heading on over to trollitc.com/GE16, that's right, trollitc.com/GE16, and that'll have links to all of our content. It'll have our top five list there, of course, and I will tell you how, in the show notes, how you can give us some feedback, so that way you too can appear in a future mailbag segment. So, five great soundtracks, and I know this is kind of a subjective sort of thing. I want to actually give you a little bit of background why I'm doing this topic for this episode. Today is the day that a brand new album was released by my favorite band, the Dave Matthews Band. I know not everyone's going to like them, and I know music is subjective. I get that. But I am so excited by the release of this new album that I thought, hey, do you know what? People love music. I love music. Let me do an episode of Geeks Explicitly covering something musically, you know, something music related. Ages ago, I had mentioned how my other show, Gamer Tunes, was going to be, you know, folded into Geeks Explicitly, and Gamer Tunes covered things that were musical, that would be of interest to geeks and to gamers. Well, I hope I have hit some of the things on my top five list, or that you might like. So I'm going to be counting down, and number five on my list of five great soundtracks is Clerks. That's right, the movie by Kevin Smith. Clerks has a fantastic soundtrack. It's interesting when you watch Clerks and you watch how it appeared in Sundance, how it appeared before music was added, and you watch it and it's a good film. It's solid, great writing, interesting premise. It's just a good film. And then you watch it with the soundtrack and it transforms the movie. The music really gives it that edge. It allows you to feel what it must be like to be that outside person, the, you know, person who's kind of left behind, the slacker, who's working at the convenience store, who's working at that dead-end job, and who's just kind of sleeping all day, waking up later in the day, hanging out all night with their buddies, and not doing anything. Now, does this sound familiar? I know when I was in college, and I would, you know, go to class, and I could wake up late because my classes were later in the day, I scheduled them later in the day, I'd stay up late, I'd do my homework, and then each night, I would go out, and I'd hang out with my buddies, and I'd be up until like the crack of dawn, the middle of the night, and then I'd sleep late, and I'd do it over and over again. And, you know, I would just do whatever. And then I think a lot of gamers go through this. After they go to school, if they go to school, they experience this, where they're just kind of, you know, they hold this job that allows them to basically buy their toys, buy their games. And then they go to work, they sleep, they hang out late, and the cycle repeats. Clerks exemplifies that, and the music of Clerks really fits in well. The soundtrack has some interesting dialogue, some cool snippets and quotes that you can get, and then, of course, the music. They have fantastic alternative indie kind of bands that just fit the mood. The soundtrack for Clerks is fantastic. And an interesting side note, I recall hearing Kevin Smith once say that the soundtrack for Clerks cost equivalent to or more than what it cost him to make the entire movie. Just think about that. What he spent to shoot the movie, what he spent to get the actors and to do all that stuff and to do the post-production was equivalent to or less than the money it was spent to license all the songs and all the material for the soundtrack. Think about that for a little bit. So that's number five on my list of five great soundtracks. That's right. Number five was Clerks. Number four on my list of five great soundtracks, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I know this isn't for everyone. In fact, my wife just kind of rolls her eyes and walks out of the room whenever I have the movie on, whenever I play the soundtrack, and I'm singing along, and, you know, I'm going, I'm just a sweet transvestite, and I'm not, but, like, I'm singing the song and everything, and I'm not going to sing because then you guys will never listen to the show again. But I just sing along, and the soundtrack, it's so interesting, and it adds all this flavor to the movie. You're thinking, of course, the movie, it's a musical movie. The soundtrack has to be fantastic. It has to really fit in there. And it's adding that extra layer, the more depth to the movie, and it's doing that. The Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack is heads and shoulders above the movie. The movie is fantastic. I am a huge fan of RHPS. But the soundtrack just takes it to that other space. It transcends. It's taking you to this other realm, this other planet. And through the words and through the lyrics and the melodies, you can really get a feel for the entire movie. It immerses you in the world of Rocky Horror. So the soundtrack is just amazing. I absolutely love it. And I think it is one of the great movie soundtracks out there. So that's why Rocky Horror Picture Show is my number four spot for five great soundtracks. That's right. Number four was Rocky Horror Picture Show, and number five was Clerks. Moving on to the number three spot of the list of five great soundtracks, we're getting to a movie that my wife and I absolutely adored. And it's not one that we brought together, but it has the same kind of vibe. The movie and the number three spot is Juno. That's right, Juno. It has this really quirky kind of feel. And the movie, it's very quirky. It's an interesting kind of film, and, you know, about teens and coming of age and all that sort of stuff. And my wife and I, we came together over the movie Napoleon Dynamite. Again, another kind of out there, oddball sort of movie with this interesting kind of quirky musical sort of soundtrack going on. And Juno, the exact same thing. Juno is an even better picture, right? And the soundtrack for me is even better. Now, you might hear me scrolling on my mouse, and that's because I'm looking on my iTunes. I have lots of music in my iTunes, right? Tons and tons and tons of music. Some of the most played music on my iTunes are songs from the soundtrack for Juno. In fact, one of the songs has been played over 1,400 times. That would be A Well-Respected Man by the Kinks. But then there's a lot of great stuff by Kimya Dawson on there. And The Moldy Peaches, of course, there's the rendition of Anyone Else But You that Michael Cera and Ellen Page did. And then you get some stuff like Belle and Sebastian and Sonic Youth. And you just got all sorts of other stuff on here. It's a really great soundtrack. Again, not for everyone, but music is subjective. What people like is subjective. But it's fantastic. It really exemplifies what's happening in the film. It allows you, the listener, to feel what the characters are feeling and to be there with them. And that's what movie has to do. A movie needs to have that soundtrack that accompanies it and sets the mood. The sound, the music sets the mood, allows you to feel, allows you to participate in the film. And Juno, again, has that soundtrack. It does it. It's amazing. The soundtrack is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time that I have listened to. And like I said, the soundtrack has songs that have been played some of the most on my iTunes. If you were to go ahead and you were to look at my iTunes and look to see what my most played songs are, you're going to find that the songs from Juno are in my top, I'm going to say they're in my top 20. They're in my top 15, something like that. They just get tons and tons of play because they are great songs and it's a great soundtrack. So that is why Juno is in my list of top five great soundtracks, and that's why it is my number three spot. So just to recap, number five was Clerks by Kevin Smith, number four, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, and then number three, Juno, of five great soundtracks. Now I want to move on and get us to the number two spot. This number two spot is gonna be fantastic, and I think it's one that a lot of you are gonna like. So that number two spot is the one, the only, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. That's right, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog by Joss Whedon. It's amazing, and really, do I need to explain this for you? Because I'm sure so many of you are browncoats. You're just huge Whedonites. You just have to love this. What's not to love? You have NPH, you have a fantastic cast, including Felicia Day, fantastic lyrics, fantastic music, it's great melody. It's something that gets in your brain, and it just climbs in there, and it grabs hold, and you can't help but fucking repeat the songs. You know, I'm doing whatever, and I start singing Laundry Day, or Freeze Ray, or whatever, or like the Bad Horse. You know, you get the Bad Horse chorus, and you're like, Bad Horse, Bad Horse, and you start singing it, and it really gets into you. It kind of gets your feet tapping, and hands going, a smile on your face, and at the same time, it does what all of these other great soundtracks are doing. It puts you into the mood. It sets the mood. It sets the atmosphere for the film. And maybe it's a stretch for me to call Dr. Horrible a film because, yeah, it was put on as a bunch of web clips and then, you know, they put it on the DVD and stuff and it's really like a three-act kind of play, musical play sort of thing. But it, for me, it's a film. So it might be a stretch, but I hope you'll forgive me and allow me to call Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog a film. I had been talking about how much I have played Juno's soundtrack on my iTunes. If you thought that was a lot, the Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog is definitely heads and shoulders above. I have played, for example, the Horrible Theme a total of 2,121 times. Now, I dare any of you who love this and who own this to have beat me with the number of plays on that. Just go ahead. I play it all the time. I love this soundtrack. It's great. I listen to it in the car. I sing along in the car. I sing at work. I'm at home. Just all the time. It's a fantastic soundtrack. It's very emotive. It sets the mood perfectly. And at the same time, it's so Whedon-esque. It's so interesting and funny and just cute and comical. And it does all of those things. It transverses all sorts of boundaries. It allows tons of different types of people to really fit in and get the vibe and just get the feel of it. You can tell that a lot of time and effort was spent writing the songs, writing the lyrics, writing the words, writing everything that has to do with these songs. A lot of time and effort spent placing them into the movie and getting everything just right. Without the soundtrack, you can tell that the movie, as good as it is, just wouldn't be as good. It wouldn't be as memorable. It's these musical lyrics, these songs here, this soundtrack that really sets the bar high and really makes it so that Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog is fantastic musically. And that's why it is the number two on my spot of a bunch of five great soundtracks. So again, I want to count down for you. And I've been counting down a lot, but I want to count down for you just to remind you. Number five is Clerks by Kevin Smith. Number four, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number three, Juno. Number two, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog by Joss Whedon. And finally, we come to the number one spot, the holy grail of five great soundtracks. And you're thinking, oh, come on, man. We know what you're going to put. You told us before, any chance you can put this in a top five list, in any whatever top list, you're going to do it. And you're fucking right, I'm gonna do it. So, without further ado, the number one spot on my list of five great soundtracks is Star Wars. Come on, you knew it was coming, right? You get someone like this it's going on. I mean, I'm so excited. You get someone like John Williams, right? And he's doing this fucking fantastic soundtrack. And everyone can just think of the opening theme. And the sun is rising after the droids crash landing on Tatooine. And they go in and you just hear the music. And it moves you. And not a fucking word is said in any of the soundtrack, in any of the songs on the soundtrack for Star Wars. Not a fucking word, right? It's all instrumental. And it does the job brilliantly. John Williams, who, of course, I'm a huge fan of, partly because of his time here at the Boston Pops as a conductor here at the Pops. He's just so brilliant. He gets it. He really gets it. And he did such a fantastic job with Star Wars. I dare you to go and play the Imperial March anywhere in the world. Someone is going to recognize it. It is instantly recognizable, and at the same time, it really sets the stage. You listen to the Imperial March, and it has those tones of Wagner in there, and you really get the feel that it's so militant, and you can tell everything you need to know about the Empire by listening to the Imperial March, by listening to Vader's theme. You get it. And if you listen to each of the different characters' themes, and you listen to the Cantina song, and the second Cantina song that they have, you can tell what's going on. You really understand. It says everything you ever need to know about each of these places, each of these things, each of these people, each of these characters. You know it all. You learn it all by listening to the soundtrack. I don't know how Williams did it. He's like a fucking genius or something. I don't get it. It's not something I can do. It's not my skill set. But he can do it. He's brilliant with this. He's bloody brilliant. And you know what? He's so freaking amazing. I can't say enough great things about him. The Star Wars soundtracks are superb. And even if you look at the ones for the, you know, the prequels that I like to pretend don't exist, you look at them and you listen to something like Duel of Fates, right? Duel of Fates is a brilliant piece of music. It's just so superb. He's just fucking amazing. That's all I gotta say, right? He's fucking amazing. And my point is, even with those, you know, less than stellar movies, he still did such a great job with the movies by adding this extra dimension when he created these soundtracks, when he did the composition for them. He is heads and shoulders above anyone else out there. And in some ways, he made those prequels watchable. Now, I'm not going to make excuses for some of the mistakes in there, like the Jar Jar Binks of the, oh, Annie, no, I love you more. Oh, Padme, I love you more. Like, okay, we get it. Lucas can't write that type of material. But Williams really did such a great job by setting the mood, and he did that by creating these fantastic soundtracks. And of course, I'm gushing mostly about the soundtrack for A New Hope, but then he did it again when he did it for Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and I mean, he's done such great work. I highly recommend that if you're a fan of Williams, and if you're a fan of Star Wars, that you pick up the Star Wars box set. This is a box set I have, and it covers the soundtracks for the first three films, the Holy Trilogy, and when I say first three films, I'm talking about the ones as they were released. I'm not talking chronologically, where the prequels, of course, were first. I'm talking about A&H, I'm talking about ESB and ROTJ, and then there's a fourth disc that has extra material. It has stuff like that second Cantina song, and has some songs on there that are a little disco and a little weird, but still, they help to kind of shape the world of Star Wars. They shape the Star Wars universe, and they get you in there. I'll have a link to that in our show notes. As a reminder, you can get our show notes by heading on over to, that's right, trollitc.com/GE16. So this has been our top five or five great soundtracks. So I want to recap. Number five is Clerks. Number four, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number three is Juno. That's right, Juno. Number two, Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. And finally, number one, Star Wars. So those are the top five great soundtracks that I have for you. I would love to hear from you what you feel are some great soundtracks. And I know there's tons out there. There's a lot of other soundtracks that are perhaps even better than these. And I didn't include them mainly because these are soundtracks that I think are great. And I think they appeal to you guys. I think they appeal to a geek audience more than some others. Like, I think, for example, The Sound of Music, another great soundtrack. Maybe not something a bunch of geeks are really going to want to watch, want to hear about. But, you know, that's another one. So if you like The Sound of Music, you like any of these other soundtracks, please let me know. Or if you agree with me on these, I'd love to hear from you. You can, of course, send me all sorts of feedback. But the best way would be to either send an email to geeksexplicitly@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment on the page with the show notes. That's right, trollitc.com/GE16. That's right, trollitc.com/GE16. So I'd love to hear from you what you think are some great soundtracks. Now at this point, I want to move on to the mailbag because we're getting to the end of the show. So the first piece of mailbag is a little different from the rest of the comments that I want to share. And this first one comes from Jared. So I want to say thank you, Jared, first of all, for being a listener. And I want to thank you, of course, for sending feedback. I love feedback. I'd love to get tons of feedback from everyone. Jared sent me this feedback on Facebook, actually, and he says, "Hey, man, just wanted to let you know that I am really enjoying Geeks Explicitly. My only problem is it's too short. But now that you're on your own and still doing other shows, it makes sense to keep it short. I'm really interested in playing Cube of Death because of your review. I also really enjoy the top 5 list episodes." So Jared, I want to thank you for your feedback. I'm glad you liked hearing what I had to say about... I'm glad... Sorry, you were hearing me shuffle some papers around. But I'm really glad, Jared, that you liked what I had to say about Cube of Death. I'm going to have a link to that episode in the show notes so that people can find out how to get it. Right now, I believe it's only available for purchase through that link to the GameCrafter website. Of course, if you, Jared, or anyone else happens to see me around, I probably have a copy on me, so I'd be happy to play with you guys. Jared, I know you see me when I'm down at Battleground or here and there, so feel free if you see me, be like, "John, you got it with you? Do you got Cube of Death?" And I'll be like, "Let me look, let me open my bag," and go, ruffle, 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 and, "Oh, wait, here it is, Jared, let's get some people together and give it a try." Otherwise, your best bet is to buy it from the Game Crafter, and I'll have a link to that, of course, in the show notes. Hopefully, down the road, you'll be able to find it in your friendly local game store. I know that Blix, who's one of the guys who helped to create Cube of Death over at Studio 187, is trying to get it all set up so that it can be, you know, mainstreamed and all that, so you can find it all over. I bet that it might even be possible to somehow get a copy from your friendly local game store, so be sure to ask the people who work there, the managers, the owners, the staff, to see if they can get a copy of Cube of Death. And they just might be able to. Now, the rest of the feedback from the mailbag segment covers episode 15, 5 great graphic novels. During episode 15, I asked if anyone had any other suggestions of what they think are great graphic novels, and I got some feedback. I'm very excited about that. So I heard from Paul, and Paul says, "I keep seeing Mouse and List for Essentials. I enjoyed the heck out of Sin City and Transmetropolitan. I also have to throw out Earth-X for Alex Ross's artistic splendor." Paul, I want to thank you, of course, for your feedback. I agree with you. Sin City is amazing, and that's one of the reasons why I made it in my top 5 list. Mouse is another fantastic graphic novel. It's one of the best graphic novels ever made in my estimation. The only reason why I left it off the list is it is a nonfiction title, and I was trying to stay away from nonfiction superhero kind of sort of stuff. So you will probably see it in, you know, another top 5 great graphic novel list when I cover nonfic and stuff, because you'll see that. You'll see Persepolis and a few other titles, Pride of Baghdad maybe, and some other stuff. But I agree with you, Mouse is amazing. I haven't read Earth-X or Transmetropolitan, but I know they are fantastic. I know people love them. So I want to thank you for your comments. Now, Mike P. said that The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen would be one of his great graphic novels. He says that he may reread them and that he doesn't do that often. I know League of Extraordinary Gentlemen gets a lot of buzz about it. People just seem to love it. It's kind of like The Avengers, but different. And, you know, people seem to like it. And I've given it a try, but I'm not a huge fan. They have lots of them out there, and Mike, I'm glad you love it. I'm glad you're going to reread it. I think anything that you like enough to rewatch, to reread, or, you know, just experience from more than one time probably means it's really good and it's something really important to you, something you just have an affinity for. So I hope you like it as much, if not better, the second time around. And I want to thank you, of course, for your feedback. And finally, I got quite a bit of feedback from Mike W. I'm not surprised. Mike is a buddy of mine. He appeared on an earlier episode of Geeks Explicitly when he was talking about hot dogs and encased meat. I will have a link to that episode as well in the show notes, so you will be able to get that. But Mike says that Ed Brubaker's criminal series is some of the best crime noir, along with Darwin Cook's Parker adaptations. Couldn't leave out Dworkin and Thompson's Beast of Burden in that category. Mike, I swear you're killing me, buddy. Love the talking cute animals. Nexus is great sci-fi comics, don't I know it? Chris Ware's Jimmy Corrigan made my heart break, and Kupperman's Tales to Thrizzle makes me laugh my butt off. Mike, I want to thank you for your comments. I agree, Brubaker is fantastic, and I know you prefer his non-superhero stuff over his superhero stuff. I really enjoyed his Captain America whole series, and he did just amazing stuff. I know how much you love Nexus. Nexus is very old school in style from what I've seen, and I know you like it for all sorts of reasons. But you get some interesting stuff here. I haven't read all of them, but they're on my list, so I want to thank everyone for sending the feedback, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, of course, about what other great soundtracks that you think are out there, and if you have any conversations that you want to share with me about other great graphic novels or anything else that we've covered on previous episodes of the show, please send them to me. You want to send an email to geeksexplicitly@gmail.com, or of course, head on over to trollitc.com/GE16. That's right, trollitc.com/GE16, and then leave a comment on the show notes. At the bottom of the page where the show notes are, you're going to find that you can write a comment and you can post it, and then I'll see it and I'll reply to it. Those are the two best ways to do it. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter, so you can find us at Twitter by going to @GeeksExplicitly. And if you go on Facebook, you can find us by doing a search for Geeks Explicitly. Again, there'll be links to both of these in the show notes, which you can get at to by going to trollitc.com/GE16. So I want to thank everyone for taking the time and listening to this episode of the show. I want to remind you that if you like this show, you might like some of the other shows on the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So you will be hearing shortly a pre-recorded, well, this is all freaking pre-recorded, but you'll be hearing a pre-recorded segment I did, just a little blurb about all the shows on TCPN that you might enjoy. We have tons of them out there. And hopefully, if you like this, you'll like some of the others, and you try all sorts of stuff. So I'll have that, and then, you know, get the rest of the show. You know the deal. If you've been listening, you know the deal. And if you're a new time listener and you made it this far, thank you. Hope you will listen next time. Hope you try out the other shows on Troll in the Corner. Don't forget, we come up with a new episode of Geeks Explicitly every Thursday. You sign in every Thursday morning. You can download it. You can put it in your RSS feed. You can subscribe in iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher. We're just all over the fucking place. You can't escape Geeks Explicitly. And really, why would you want to? Because this is where you go to get all sorts of great geek content, such as a list of 5 great soundtracks. So thank you again, and until next time, I'm Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and this is Geeks Explicitly. Here at Geeks Explicitly, we love feedback. You can email us at geeksexplicitly@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Please check us out online by going to www.trollitc.com/geekspodcast. This show is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. If you enjoy this show, you might like some of the other podcasts on the network. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Troll ITC owner Ben Gerber. Ben chats with people involved with indie games, movies, and much more. Every Thursday is a new episode of Geeks Explicitly, hosted by yours truly. All aspects of geek life are discussed. Wargaming Recon comes to you on the 2nd and 4th Mondays of the month. I chat about historical and New England gaming.
Monsters of the Shattered World, hosted by Troll ITC editor Brent Newhall, releases monthly. This story podcast details the adventures of a young scholar encountering strange monsters on a foreign planet. To learn more about the shows on TCPN, visit www.trollitc.com/TCPN.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
What is Wargaming Recon?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you.
We today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
Historical Wargaming for your ears, only at wargamingforums.com.
Oh, the humanity.